Okay, looking at the schedule for tonight at Riverbend with our friend Jeff Styles, Leonard Skinner is the headline with Drake White. Now, how exactly is that going to work? Is Drake going to be singing with Leonard Skinner? Is that the idea?
No, Drake will come out and
they're two different acts,
They'll do their own little thing, about a 35, 40, 45-minute set.
He's a singer-songwriter,
yes,
right?
And, you know, he just opened up again for Kip Moore the other night at Track 29, and he's one of those guys that's got the goods. And so I think we were really lucky to get him.
That's interesting billing. Why did you bill it that way? Why did you put him on that big stage?
Every once in a while, that's what they request, actually, because they're label mates.
And, so Leonard Skinner asked for him to open
for
them.
Usually, when you see that, as a matter of fact, some of the biggest names in country, if you go back and look, you will see that they actually did like Brad Paisley. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a couple of the other ones that... As a matter of fact, I may be incorrect about this, but I'm pretty sure Keith Urban did one of those short little mini sets in front of whoever was hot at the time. This one, I think they just want to get Drake out there. And Skinner certainly, I mean, that's a rifle shot directly at his target demo.
And Leonard Skinner.
Oh,
I want your take on that. How do you feel about Leonard Skinner at this point?
I mean, the only thing
you must remember the days when it was the most important thing
in the world.
Yeah,
I was in a baseball dugout.
It was what anybody wanted to talk about for a while?
Playing a game, and one of my buddies had begged me to go with him to go see the show at the Fox, and I said, "Man, I got a game." He goes, "Oh man, you skip it. I mean, how many games you got in the summer?" I said, "Oh, I can't skip it." And he came down there to the dugout, stuck his head around, "Come on, man, come on, go." Hey, I mean, he literally was expecting me to take off my uniform and just disappear. And of course, that was the one that they actually recorded, and it was one more from the road. And I was so regretting that I'd missed it because, God, they ruled. I mean, they ruled. Southern rock ruled. There was nothing bigger. There was nothing better. I mean, right under Skinner, you had Marshall Tucker. You had Wet Willie. You had all these other bands. And Charlie Daniels, God, what an incredible band. Again, they were jamming before anybody knew what jam bands were. And Skinner was so excellent. And they were unapologetic. And they, without being racist, they loved the South. And that made us feel good. But the thing is, it was so big everywhere else. And they were playing raw music.
So
you know?
Given all that,
yeah,
they come freighted with all kinds of expectations.
Sure.
Here, perhaps more than anywhere else.
Anywhere else, yeah. I'm not a big one on repeating. I guess that was the only thing. We've talked about it virtually every year, and I hate to repeat. There's so much good music out there, but this is one of those. I'll tell you, I think everybody knows by now that we had Weezer and then lost him, and I thought, okay, we get Weezer and Steel Pulse. I'll give you your Skinner. I'll raise you. You know. You're give me Steel Pulse, and then we'll give. I'll fold. You get Skinner.
And so, if you were wondering, ladies and gentlemen, just exactly how this works, now you know.
Yeah.
So, you think they're going to live up to that rep? I guess is the question.
I don't know if it'll be as big as it was last time, because I do believe it was the biggest night we ever had as far as concessions and numbers put together. Mm. It was the perfect night. You know. And when they're on, they're on. I mean, it's songs you know by heart, and they're not afraid to go deep into the repertoire. And some of their stuff is just really, really good.
No doubt.
For every free bird you know that you shout as a joke, remember the Ballad of Curtis Lowe. All right, just keep that in mind. That stuff is good.
Oh, kudos to them that they can still play.
Yes.
With the kind of carrying the load of Freebird all these years.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, does every show they do, people still shout that out.
What song is it you want to hear? I heard it that time. Boy, can't he play? You know, do I need to keep going?
I
mean,
I feel for him. Oh, man, I feel for those guys. All right. My friend Ryan Oyer is opening the evening on the Tennessee Valley Credit Union, and I've seen Ryan grow. And
that was one of my others.
Is a writer, and I know you've been a fan. He's been on your show a bunch
just,
of times.
He came in. I didn't know anything about him. He played. He was getting ready to open up somewhere for somebody, and he pulled out his guitar and he just did this intense, dark song
that was just
gripping. And I looked at my producer, who's got very different taste in music than me, but he's a big music fan, and we were just both going, "Wow." Mm. That's good, man.
It is.
I mean, that's really good. And so I didn't want to just gush, but I said, "You got it, man. Do not give this up."
So he's opening the Tennessee Valley Credit, yes. And he's playing solo this time, right? Because he's been doing some shows with Woodford, and he has a band. Is he going to play with the band?
I know. Lon demanded to be solo. Ryan, to be honest with you, he may shift that. I think he was going in solo, but he may change. Okay. I've seen a lot of things change this week.
Well, the impression I have is that he's working with the band these days.
Anybody who saw 10,000 Maniacs, by the way, that horn section that jumped up about halfway through, those were all Chattanooga natives. Including some names that are known by, in musical circles. So they asked for it and they got it. A man brass section just popped out of nowhere. And so you never can tell.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about Riverbend, right? And evidently for you too.
Yeah.
What you thought was going to happen a lot of times hasn't.
And I am always tickled to see stuff like that happen and just see anybody, even when they, Jake Owen pulled up Florida Georgia Line on stage. And he knew Florida Georgia Line could have been on that stage easily.
That was a smart move.
And he got him up there and gave them some love, and that was respected.
Yeah. No doubt. Sure. Smart move, too, on both parts. Jonathan Bird following Ryan Oyer.
Huge, huge fan of this guy. Like John Prine and others, Daryl Scott. I can play a Daryl Scott song for somebody, and I can look in their eyes, and I'm going, why are you not getting this? John Prine is another perfect example. Jonathan Bird, the first time I put it on, I was like, twice, just in the first listening to the CD, I had tears in my eyes. I had to say it. I mean, I'm very emotional. It just, there's something, a quality to his voice, the sincerity. He's got a song called Father's Day, and just tore me to pieces. I just recently lost my dad. And then he's got everything on here is good. And some of them are kind of goofy. He's had some fun. So the album's called Cackalack. I mean, how serious can it be? But there's this tune called Oak Tree. I Was an Oak Tree is just fantastic.
I was an oak tree. It took 1,000 years to grow. And I've seen kingdoms come and go. I've seen the losers turn to lords and back again. I held the rebels when they hung them from my limbs. When men of fortune cast their futures on the sea, it's when they came for me. And I was a slave ship under the standard of the cross. A hallelujah Holocaust. And half were dead before we reached the other shore. And the captain never saw the coming storm that swept around the Cape and took us by surprise. And only 8 survived.
And then, following Jonathan, is Strong Like a Horse, and talking about, a band that you're never quite sure what they're going to do when they come on stage.
Yes.
They're going to make a lot of noise and have a lot
of
fun.
Those two things are absolute. That's a given. And, boy, what a quick rise. I remember meeting them.
And well-deserved, I think. They've
Roots
been working
Fest,
so
just
hard.
Last year. Yeah. Just last year. Yeah. And they just named themselves. And the banjo player came up and gave me a Burn CD with about 4 songs on it. And I said, well, you win the best band name contest for sure. And next thing I know, they were playing all over the place. We brought them down, of course, to open for Riverfront Nights. They won the Road to Nightfall contest. Ended up with, 300 people marching all the way down to Rhythm and Blues. And, introducing them at Beer Over Dirt last year, I'm sitting up there and that Sloth, the drummer, I hear him calling out for a more mic on his kazoo. And I said, I've done this a long time. I've never heard a drummer say, I need more kazoo here. So, I think they're probably your next Old Crow.
I wouldn't be at all surprised, and I've never seen a drum kit quite like
Nobody
the
Slopes, has.
I have to say. On the Volkswagen stage, Tim and Reese are opening tonight at 6 o'clock.
Yep, and Hillbilly Sins, probably don't have to go too far into that one.
Kind of
I love a band.
Itself,
I love a band that just tells you what they do in their name.
On the Unum stage, Vicky Roberts with the Cody McCarver band.
Yep, last year Cody McCarver actually came out and headlined Bud Light stage on our first night, and Vicky Roberts came out and, of course, vocal coach for Lauren Elena and backed him up. So just kind of returning the favor this go-around.
And James Rogers?
James Rogers, who's been on the Coke stage, Coca-Cola stage, and an entire career up in Dollywood. And it's been 2 decades, maybe, since he's been at Riverbend, and he was a superstar. You know, hometown bragging rights, no doubt. So it's just good to have him back. And, of course, one of our big gets this year.
Larry Carlson, yeah, way to go.
Yeah, he
played here at Nightfall a few years back, and I thought he did an ace show.
I know guitarists in every genre who think he's the best guitarist in the world. Mm. I mean, literally. Mm. I think they just say, you know, let him go. Let him do whatever he wants to do, and then just watch. And they say, you can't find people to match him. I know that what he chose to do, that kind of smooth jazz thing, isn't for everybody, including some jazz fans, but he is remarkable. The last year they were doing this whole thing with TSOP, and they had the backup singers, and they were doing all of the ooh-ooh and the backup vocals, but he would take the lead vocal and play it on guitar. And so there would be no vocal. It was a very interesting thing. I just couldn't make it happen. I wanted to.
And so-called smooth jazz is like a lot of music. It sounds a lot better live than it does on records.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Something happens in the studio, the air goes out of it.
I mean, I can think about some of the moments. I mean, Hiroshima, Tuck and Patty, which mm-hmm. I've seen both up at the Unum stage. Mm-hmm. And again, you see it live and it's like, oh, okay, it's making much more sense now.
Mm-hmm. Different thing entirely. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. 9:30 tomorrow night on the Unum stage, Larry Carlton with a trio. And on the Bud Light stage is the Matt Chauncey Band.
Yep.
And as always, the Bud Light stage starts at 5 o'clock.
And, of course, I name-dropped Old Crow Medicine Show just a little bit earlier, and Willie Watson was arguably their front man for a long time, and I've also name-dropped John Prine. And last time Prine was in town, I didn't know if he was going to have an opening act. Never do. And the only thing I told my wife is, the only thing is, if he does, it's going to be somebody good. Mm. And we walked in, there was this young man up there on stage, and I sat down, and nobody around me knew who he was, but he was incredibly confident, and he's, you know, messing with his capo, and he's in front of this whole audience. I said, well, this guy's, I mean, clearly. And then people started shouting out Old Crow songs, and I went, oh, I know who this is. And I didn't know he'd gone solo. And by now, his solo album was supposed to be out. I wished it had been. But he got into some bickering with the band, and of course they're going to have to figure that out as to how it goes. But he's got some stuff in the can, and he's very, very good.
So how's it going with these 5 o'clock shows on the Bud Light stage? Are those guys getting a good crowd?
They get the 5 o'clock shows. It's tough. I mean, they're getting the people who come in.
Mm-hmm.
The show after that, which used to be that slot,
mm-hmm.
we finally have begun to break that ice, break that seal. It's been now about 5 years since I just said, you know, this 7 and 9 o'clock mindset has got to go, and we got all these slots, and we just got to get them out of that. So I mean, you know, I just started pushing it. That 6:15. That's where we put, you know, Roscoe Bandana this year. That's where we put Future Birds last year. That we put, you know, I just had Green Sky Bluegrass and so many others, Lubrifonic, just killer, killer bands that have just gone up there and just played their heart out. And finally, people have started recognizing that they need to show up.
So, know? Word of the wise, huh?
Yeah.
Get there early.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to miss Matt Chauncey, 5 o'clock, Willie Watson at 6:15, and Monophonics, who will be closing the evening on the Bud Light stage at 7:45.
These guys moved up to Bud Light and headlined when we had to do some shifting around and kind of doing a little shell game, moving the chess pieces, and we wondered, can they really hold it? And we had not actually gotten the product in our hands, and we were being reassured by other people who knew about it. And since we moved them there, I can't tell you how many people have said, oh, I can't believe you guys got them. That's so great. That's so cool. And they describe themselves as a black rock band. That's what they say, black rock. I don't know what that means, Mother's Finest. It doesn't sound like Mother's Finest, but it has an excellent sound. They do a cover of Sly Stone, you know, but it's very unique. And the vocal effects, kind of like My Morning Jacket. But it's definitely got the funk, it's definitely got the backbeat, but it's also got some really weird Radiohead experimentation in there, and just a really aggressive sound. And I think this is the one I said, this will be the one that will people walk away from going, okay, that rocked. Now, who were they? What was that? What were they called again? And people would be lining up at the merch tent going, I'm a fan. You know, that's my prediction anyway.
So it sounds a bit like Living Colour.
Yes.
Vernon Reid's band.
Yeah, just a little bit more, I don't know, grinding, I guess. Not so much flair. I think they're a little dirtier.
Sounds good. Monophonics, here they are.
days are consumed by thoughts of you. Can't get you off my brain, no matter what I do. Ooh, this feeling is coming over me. Here's the feeling of love, like we were meant to be. Say